So we are kicking off our study in the book of James. You guys can turn in your Bibles there. And I have something I want to read for you from December 15th of last year. Some of you know my friend Lizzie Effinger, and some of you have read her blog and followed what's going on in her life, but I just wanted to read an excerpt from her blog. This is December 15th of last year. She says, quote, "I just realized that 5 years ago today, I was diagnosed with ALL, leukemia and lymphoma for the first time at 19 years old. That was the second hardest day of my life," she says. "The first was August 5th of this year, the day my dad passed away, and I had my biopsy to find out that my cancer had returned. I was already pretty sure that it had returned at that point, though, so today would have been my cancer-free day had I not relapsed back in August. But I know the Lord allowed my cancer to return for a reason, and despite how incredibly hard this season has been, I'm so thankful for the good things that God has done through this trial, and there have been a lot of hard but good things." She goes on to say, "Every minute I have a choice to trust God and his goodness no matter what, or be anxious about statistics and less encouraging stories and the unknown. But then in the good minutes, I'm reminded that just a month ago, God put us through fire and yet made Caleb," that's her husband, "and I so much stronger for it. He gave me my greatest fear of getting pneumonia during the lowest part of cancer treatment, and he healed me from it. And not only that, but that situation gave Caleb and I more peace and joy than we've ever known, understanding that no trial is too great for us to endure when we rely on God's strength and not our own. Even suddenly losing my dad, and then moving, and then being diagnosed with cancer within the same few days, even almost dying at 19, and then again at 24, God always provides. But some minutes, it's easy to forget, and that is when I need to stick my nose in the Bible, almost always prompted by Caleb's encouragement," she says, "and dwell on the truth." And she quotes 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Pretty amazing, right? I am so far behind Lizzie in faith, in trust in Christ. God has really tried her life. And tonight, I would like you guys to consider what you think would be the most difficult trial that you could possibly go through in your life. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to volunteer that information. But what would it be? For some, it could be financial. It could be the loss of a job. It could be, you know, not knowing how you're going to make ends meet. Money is really tight right now. Maybe it could get a lot tighter, and that could really concern you. Maybe it's your own health or the health of a family member. Could potentially be the death of a child. But all of those things that you're thinking of, I think would touch and resonate with each person in this group, no matter what it is that you brought up in your mind. My friend Lizzie, God has taken her through the cancer battle one time, and he's now taking her through it again. Only this time he saw fit to take her father from her the day that she was diagnosed with it for a second time. And how would you handle that? How would you process that in your life? Would you be able to withstand that type of trial? And I ask questions, you know, why do we go through these things, and what is God trying to accomplish? And, you know, Lizzie is in the middle of it, and so she can see the path, and she can, you know, her health is returning a bit now, and we're extremely thankful for that. But why do we go through it? And how are we supposed to think about it when we're going through it? How are we supposed to process that? And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to start a two-part study on trials in the book of James. It'll take tonight and next Wednesday. We're going to go from verse 2 through verse 12 of chapter 1. And if you haven't already, you guys can turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead, we're going to read verses 2 through 12. And I'll ask for some volunteers in reading that. I need somebody to read verses 2, 3, and 4. Trace, 2, 3, and 4. Somebody 4, verses 5 through 8. David? 9 through 11. Camden, if you wouldn't mind. And then I will read 12. Okay? Trace, go ahead. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Tonight we're going to build a foundation for understanding trials, for how we respond to trials, and then next week we're going to learn how to handle a trial when we're in the middle of it. If you want to navigate through the road of a trial, if you want to be able to get to the mountaintop and kind of see the valley below and understand it, James says that the first thing that we need to do is we need to develop the right presupposition about trials. We need to develop the right presupposition about trials. He says in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. When you think of a trial, what do you think of? What is it? Let's just define it first. What is a trial?
Hardship.
Hardship? I'm sorry?
Setback.
A setback. What else? David?
Difficult circumstance.
It's a great way of wording it. What else? Anything else come to mind when you guys think of a trial?
A test.
Okay. We use those words, trouble, hardship, test. Those are biblical terms. They're also a good definition for what we're looking at. It's trouble caused by hardship in life, essentially. Okay, if you're to boil it down into a nutshell, and you want to put it into a simple phrase, it's trouble caused by hardship in life. And James says various trials. He says they come in all shapes and sizes. The word there literally means multicolored. Okay, so you're going to look at a trial, and you're going to see that it comes in all different shapes and sizes, all different colors. No two trials are alike, generally speaking. They're going to be different for each individual believer. And some of you sitting here tonight are in the middle of a trial right now. And some of you aren't. And that's kind of where I've been recently, and I'm like ready to duck, okay? Because like the rule of thumb is you preach on James 1, and you're going to start going through it, right? Like we learn it. This is how God works. You learn it. And then he starts, you know, working you through it. So I'm really sorry you guys are all subject to, you know, I'm just joking. But for some of you here tonight, you know, you could be going through a trial. Your trial could have a first, middle, and last name. Trial could be an individual. You could be going through a health struggle right now. And you're trying to figure out what's going on with your body, with your health. I've had friends struggle from migraines and they can't figure out what's going on. Some of you, it could be financial, trying to make ends meet, trying to figure out how to pay for life. And they come in all different shapes and sizes. But it's important, I think, to determine what he's not saying, first and foremost. When he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, he's not trying to say that we need to have an emotional elation over trials, okay? He's not saying that you need to look at your circumstances and be thrilled about the fact that you're going through a hard time. Okay? It's not what he's saying. It doesn't mean that if you have a friend who has a close family member pass away, that you need to go tell them that they should be rejoicing over the trial that they're in. It doesn't mean that if you find out that you're going to measure the remainder of your life in days or weeks or months rather than years or decades, that you need to be emotionally elated about that. Some people teach that, and that's just not true. Okay? That's not what he's trying to say. What he is saying is that there's an understanding that a believer in Jesus Christ should have in life and in trials that brings joy because of our beliefs. Okay? As Christians, we should have a view of life that's different from the world because we should handle life with a spiritual perspective and not necessarily a focus on circumstances and challenges in life. Okay? So the first thing that we need to do within this is, within our presupposition, is we need to learn how to react. We need to learn how to react. He says, consider it all joy. Count it. Deem it. See it as joyful. Okay? And this is a practical statement. I think when he says, consider it all joy, when you see your trials, very practically, just consider them and think about them and pray through them. A lot of times with trials, we have a knee-jerk reaction of panic or, you know, freaking out about it. A knee-jerk reaction to a trial is oftentimes a wrong response, okay? So very practically, just think through it. Pray through it. Seek counsel about it. Be wise in your decision. The joy that he talks about is an emotional response to truth. It's not an emotional response to the circumstance. Okay? Write it down. The joy that he's referring to is an emotional response to truth, not to the circumstance. And what is the truth? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's explaining that he is able to be content in trials because he knows the truth, the theology that undergirds the trial. That he can see through the circumstances and see the truth that God is working behind those things. Oftentimes, a trial is what brings us closer to God. A trial, it's really easy to be dependent upon self and to think that you've kind of got life covered when nothing's going difficult. But God is faithful to bring us closer to him when life gets challenging. So you can see through that as well. So he tells us how we are to react. And we can react that way because we're reacting to truth, not necessarily to circumstances. Secondly, we need to learn to expect the unexpected. This is still within our presupposition. We need to learn to expect the unexpected. The verse there says, when you encounter various trials. Don't you really wish that said if? Right? If you encounter various trials, wouldn't that be nice? But because trials will come in life, we should live in a way that expects the unexpected. The word encounter there really means to like fall into it. Like you don't even see it coming. You just fall into it like a trap. Some of you know that I used to work at a mortuary cemetery. I was in a memorial counseling department, and my third day on the job, they give us a tour of the cemetery. Yeah. Yeah, I fell into a grave. Okay? Straight in, 8 feet deep. Okay, this is not a joke. I had no idea. We were walking around. I was being given a tour of the cemetery. I'm walking through, and they have open burial sites that they're ready to bury somebody in, right? And I just, whoom, fell right in, okay? Scraped my face, my elbows, ripped my suit. It was really a fun experience, okay? Humbling, right? Well, now I know when you're walking through a cemetery, watch for open holes, okay? It's not a joke. I really did fall in. It was horribly embarrassing, okay? But this is the type of imagery that James is talking about. You fall into it. It's unexpected. You have no idea that it's there. You have no idea that it's coming. And when you encounter it, it's just, boom, it's there. And without the wisdom of James, you just may kind of go through life kind of flippant. Hey, maybe something bad will happen. Maybe something won't. But James is trying to develop the mindset that you understand that something bad is going to happen. Life is going to be challenging. You guys will face moments in your life, you will, that will be agonizing, okay? They will be extremely difficult. bringing you to the point of tears if that hasn't happened already. But you're better prepared for them if you understand that they will come. They will be hard. So we need to develop the right presupposition about trials. Second point for this evening is we need to recognize the purpose of trials. We need to recognize the purpose of trials. James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So the first thing that we recognize is that trials are for spiritual conditioning. Trials are for spiritual conditioning. He says knowing there, knowing that the testing of your faith. This is an all-encompassing understanding of trials, of difficulties. And this isn't just a knowledge gleaned from listening to me talk about it. This is personal experience. This is testing by fire. This is developed through your life experience in trials, but it's also built through your study of the Word. People who have come before us, believers who have come before us, have gone through some incredibly difficult trials. David preached on Job just a couple weeks ago. I mean, you want to talk about a difficulty in life. This is a man who was scraping boils off of his body. Everybody around him is dead. He's lost everything. Okay? Challenging, right? We know it's coming. And we have to prepare for it with our times of study. It's a knowing. My children know that obedience brings blessings. Okay? They understand that because we have rules of the house, but also because of their personal experience, they know obedience brings a blessing. Disobedience brings what? Spankings. That's excellent. I don't know who said that, but Christy, yes. Disobedience brings discipline, right? They know it because they've lived it. But not only because they've lived it, but because we teach them those things. They know what the rules are in the house, and when they break them, there's discipline. In the same way, your Christian life and your understanding of the Word of God should enable you to understand that trials will come and that they will be hard. It's a knowing, it's a full knowledge of trials and difficult times. And when he says testing there, this is really to prove genuineness of your faith. This is a test to see how real your faith is. We said it last week in the kickoff of this book, but this book is a series of tests for the Christian life. You should be able to determine whether or not you are truly saved by how you respond to the truth that's in this book. The Puritan Thomas Manton said, "The worth of a soldier is never known in peacetime." And the same can be said of Christians during times of trial or during times when they're not in trial. You can really tell what's going on there when their faith is tested. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? When your faith is tested, when you're pushed to the breaking point, when you're faced with the worst scenario, what does your faith look like? Is it genuine? Is it real? Are you trying to rely on yourself to escape it, or are you trying to rely on the Holy Spirit? The test proves whether the faith is genuine. And if it's genuine, then the testing produces endurance. When you begin working out after a time without working out, what's that like? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. It's great. Okay, I hear it's hard. I hear it's the worst. What's it like? It hurts? You're sore? It's a trial? Who's been through that recently? It's a lot of hands. You guys got to keep up on your fitness program. Okay, but what happens after 2 or 3 weeks? What's it like? What? It's killing. Limping around, trying to pick up your legs. No, really, what's it like after 3 weeks? What's it like? Okay, call it a month. And let's assume you're not trying to lose like 50 pounds, okay? Let's just say you're trying to get back in shape or you're, you know, what's it like? Fall into a routine? Muscle fatigue isn't as bad as it was before, right? Soreness can last maybe, you know, a day as opposed to like a week. make progress, you can lift heavier. Excellent. It's a great analogy for the Christian life, right? People are giggling. People are saying something funny. I'm missing out, though. Keenan, what's it like? You lift weights a lot. And the same thing can be said of spiritual endurance. The trial is difficult, and I'm not saying that it's not going to be physically and emotionally painful. I think that we would all agree on that fact. But your ability to focus on truth and your ability to focus on Christ and what Christ is doing in your life becomes so much more clear that it enables you to endure the trial. I'm not saying that the trial is going to get easier on the surface, right? It doesn't just evaporate and go away, but your ability to maintain your focus is going to get better. This is real life. This is the testing of your faith. But what you guys need to realize is that it's not just built through the trials, it's built through your knowledge of Scripture as well. Your endurance is tested during trials. It's a test of what you've learned and what you know to be true in your life, what you've studied in your personal devotions. If we're being really honest, this is incredibly difficult in today's society. Sitting down to study the Bible is really challenging because we live in a world that places value on the 140-character Twitter feed. We get knowledge from little bits of information. It's a bit of information. It's an article instead of a book on a topic. We don't really dive deeply into spiritual things because we feel like the blog post is sufficient. What that guy wrote about for six paragraphs on spiritual gifts is plenty for me to know everything that there is to know about spiritual gifts or about trials or about theology or fill in the blank. But we place a high value on those small pieces of information, the 30-second soundbite instead of the sermon. We tried to keep our videos that we did for promoting COC Bible Study under a minute because the surveys say that people don't watch videos on Facebook that are longer than a minute. What does that say about our attention span, guys? What does that say about our ability to focus and where we get our information and how highly we value information? This will be challenging for you. You guys need to resist what is really a cultural call to shallowness. You need to dive deeper in your spiritual life to really dig in and figure out what the truth is. It's not just reading Scripture. It's memorizing it. It's meditating on it. It's not just listening to a clip of a sermon. It's listening to a whole sermon or a sermon series. People will say, I can learn generally everything that I need to know about heaven in two sermons. Well, MacArthur preached heaven for 12 weeks. There's a lot to know. Do you really feel like you can get it all in an article? You guys become those people that build a solid foundation by diving deep into the truth. That will be your spiritual backbone for trials, so that when the test comes, you're ready for it. You're prepared for it. You know what's coming. Okay. That was spiritual conditioning. Second purpose of trials is for spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. Look back at verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That phrase, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing here, is better translated to mean mature or strong. Very simply. Okay? These tests are going to bring you to the place where you become a mature believer, a mature follower of Christ. James is not saying that it makes us perfect or sinless. We know that that doesn't happen until we're in glory, right? That I really don't need to touch on that. We all understand that. We're not Mormons. Don't believe that perfection is possible here. Okay. Besides, he says just a few chapters later, chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. Okay, so he knows that we don't become perfect here. But he's saying, rather, a believer that will be built into a spiritually solid person in Christ. That's what he's trying to communicate. Spiritually solid believer. My father used to work in construction in his 20s and 30s. And he was raised out in Palm Desert, Palm Springs area. Started digging ditches at 12 years old in the summer. But the contract that he was working for in his 20s got called to a housing complex that was out in Palm Springs. And it was brand new built homes. They were still in frame, so they hadn't been drywalled in or anything like that. But the contractor was called to tear down all of those brand new built homes and to rebuild them. That's what he got contacted for. Come out. I need you to come out here with your crew. I need you to tear down these 23 homes and I need you to rebuild them from the ground up. See, the houses were built in the winter. Temperatures don't get very high in the desert. Actually, they get rather cold in the desert. But the guys who were building the houses took shortcuts. And back then, nails for houses, the 3-inch long ones, used to come in a paraffin wax strip, okay? So they'd get fed into the paraffin wax, and then they would come in these big sheets. Well, the men who were building the houses thought that it would be really cool and would make their jobs easier if they took the nails, threw them in a barrel, they doused them with gasoline, and they lit them on fire. Because instead of going through all the work of pulling nails out of the paraffin wax, they figured just melt the wax. Well, what would happen is the wax would melt around the nail and they would be able to one tap and then hit the nail and it would shoot straight into the boards in two hits. So they were taking shortcuts. Well, when it got really hot in the summer, the houses started to do this and they started to lean back and forth. To the point where when my dad went through there with his contractor, he was able to grab a set of 2x4s and pull them apart with his bare hands because the nails just slipped right out. That's what the Christian life looks like if we cut corners. That's what it looks like if you're focused on the article, you're focused on the Twitter feed, you're focused on all of these little pieces of information. You're cutting corners, and when the heat of a trial comes, or the heat of persecution comes upon this group, or in your life in a classroom, or in your life at work, what does your house look like? Does it fall apart? Is it leaning? Is it tilting? Or is it built solid because you haven't cut corners? Because you understand that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That you understand that digging deep into the scriptures, that you understand that going through difficult times in life makes you solid. Build the foundation strong. Don't cut corners in your Christian life. I just ask you tonight, what does your house look like? And if a trial comes tomorrow or next week, how does your life handle it? We're going to look at that next week. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for these students. I pray for their hearts. Lord, that you would do a work in all of them. That you would condition their lives. That you would test them. That you would build them into mature and strong believers that want to glorify you with their life. We're so thankful for being back on campus. We're thankful that that we can be here to be a light. We ask that you would use us mightily for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.